Well, hello, hello, everyone. It's that time again, Zosha.
Hi. Happy Q Day.
I feel like it's like the resurrection of homesteading, like, right? It's, you know what I mean? With Robin's new show, Robin and Shane.
What a great day.
Oh,
what a great gosh. Day. What a great show.
It was so good. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Please go.
Ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I insist.
I felt everyone today, I felt heart, calmness, great care, and love. It's just, I actually got teary. I had a tear fall out of my eye as I was listening, because it's just, it's happening. We're all doing it. We're all gathering. And I just feel so happy for Q and Mermaid and the whole team and everyone to feel just this switch. I don't know. It felt profoundly beautiful.
That's exactly how I felt. You described it so well, Zosha. I was just so proud and so excited and like, oh my gosh, like, just like you said, we're doing it. And, you know, I love how Shane said, you know, he described how he felt when Q stepped back and right. Like sometimes you just, you know, you have to leave and see what happens. And it's not the best way to describe it, but it's kind of like the mama leaving, you know, it's time to fly from the nest, you know,
yeah.
And then seeing, you know, it's like that song by Tom Petty. Well, it's kind of how I feel sometimes, you know, learning to fly and I don't have wings, or however it goes. Like, right. Like we're learning to fly, but we're getting our wings, so to speak.
Yeah. Or I'd say we have our wings. Yeah. Now we're just flying. We're doing it. It feels so good. Could feel everybody, could feel what's happening. You could just almost feel the future.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Where it's rolling into. So it's super exciting.
It's so wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
How have you been? Speaking of flying, what have you been up to? Wink, wink.
If this was our earlier show, I wouldn't have made it. Friday was until 12:15 today. I'm not kidding you. What a wild week. I saw a message from you, like something about the show. I'm like, oh, she must be floating. Like, she's totally off a day. And then I'm like, where do I go to find out what day it is? My clocks are taped up. I don't have anything. But then I did go to my phone. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Saturday. It was Friday to me. And the funny thing is, too, is I did a water fast this week. So I'm sure that was part of the issue. But I'm like, I did it for 3.5 days. And
wow.
Now I'm like, wait a minute. I actually think I did it for 4.5 days now.
Oh my gosh.
Because I'm literally off a day. It's the wildest feeling.
That's so cool. I love that. I've been thinking about doing that too. Wow.
I'd say you have to really feel it in your inspiration. I've done cleanses in the past, and I did one water fast for one day, and that was my plan. But I'm like, no, I can go. And I just kept going. I was exhausted, though, this week, really quite tired, where in other moments I've had like 1,000 times the amount of energy. This time, not so much. So it's really mellow, very introspective, very quiet. So I just say you really have to feel it to get through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool.
That is so cool.
It seems so severe, though, just to have water for 4.5 days. Okay, I had tea. It's like a water fast. I had tea, water.
Okay.
Lots of tea, lots of lime water.
Ooh. Well, but, you know, that's interesting. That's so cool.
In the past, I have many, many years ago, I felt really profound changes. It's just a form. It's sort of funny, the metaphor for the week. You know, we had, quote, hurricanes off the coast. I saw the trails with the X's out here. And we all know what that's for, creating tracers. So it just really interesting, all that swirled around this week. Stuff that came up just seemed like a last release. It was really fascinating. I don't know how to explain it so much, but it just everything coalesced. And it was interesting that I just randomly chose to start the fast this week. I didn't plan it. I don't plan anything. So it was interesting, really interesting, all that came out.
That's
but amazing. I'm glad it was the happy hour show.
Yeah, yeah.
I just set two alarms now, one on Friday, one on Saturday.
And you know what's getting really cool? It's what's really interesting and it's neat to observe, Zosia, is that we have not talked. Like, we have not talked about what we're going to talk about on the show.
We haven't.
No.
Not all week, not today, not before the show.
No, it's just, so yeah.
I have inspirations. I know you have inspirations.
Yeah.
From last week, how we ended the show with a cliffhanger. So I have an inspiration for that.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Well, it's the synchronicity was so cool because if we put a document on our page of the reruns of Q Day just continued. So I followed along over the weekend and listened to Being Inspired. And it's, again, every single time I just chuckle because he's speaking to what we spoke about. So if I can read it, it's a little bit long.
Yeah, please do.
So I'll just read it slow. It's on the Being Inspired. Just to remind everyone, last week we spoke about heart versus mind energy, and we spoke about sacred intimacy. I did the first part, you did the second part. So this has to do, I'll just read it. So Immaculate Conception was the creation of light. And Asha says, was there a sexual act? Q says, not physical. Asha says, was there any physical interaction whatsoever to create that body? Q said, no and yes. Very difficult. Asha said, thank you, Asha, for pushing. Asha said, what is the yes? Q said, the conception was not genetically, it was from light, so I could make love to my partner, and the heartfelt desire to share light would be the conception you are talking about. Even to this day, we are confused by the orgasm when we procreate. We mate, we make love, we cherish each other. That power has nothing to do with physicality and or genetics. It is a far more powerful than your physical relationship with orgasm. It has nothing to do with it. That is currently a result of your physicality now, but that is not the way it used to be. Does that make sense? Asha says, yes, and yet at the same time, some beings who have a sexual explosion are in 100% light, even now on this planet. Q says, that is correct. So most light beings merge with each other and can create conception and can do it in physicality. I can tell you it was no problem merging with mermaid halfway around the world, but it is because we have that knowledge already, things of that nature. We could talk about it for days. It is natural for us to merge. The issue becomes about here so far, from my observation, the brain is very capable of channeling throughout, which confuses this conversation tremendously because we are working with our visualization of intrinsics through the brain. And the channeling is the most dangerous thing you can do to a physical being here, would be my assessment. Asha concurs. We have like 10 more lines.
Well, I love this. Keep going. It's perfect.
It's synchronistic, I'm betting.
Absolutely. Keep going.
Asha confirms it is allowing something that may not be your own light. Just to remember, she's going back into the thinking process. If you're thinking, especially during intimacy, something else can come in, I feel she's saying. Q says, you can see how good the dark is with propaganda of lust. That is why you have so much visualization of sensuality, which has been stolen from our true sensuality, which has been stolen from our heart and our core. And I can't wait to go deep into that conversation and revisit our opportunity to love each other in a more comprehensive way. It isn't necessarily from the brain. It is through the observation of the brain, possibly. We get to experience from our heart, and then we see the experience through our brain. Nothing more, nothing less would be my assessment. And Asha ends with this, if everyone can listen to that part over and over again in the recall, it will start to make a lot more sense. And just to let everyone know, it was 35 minutes in on the Being Inspired show, dated August 5th, 2023, if you want to go re-listen to it at 35 minutes. Pretty cool. So this after our show, and then later on I'm listening to this, I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Every single time, every single time. It's amazing how this universe works.
isn't it amazing, Sosha? Like, I just marvel at how this all I don't want to say works, but you know what I mean. Like, I'm inspired to pick up start reading books on, you know, sacred intimacy. You know, I love that instead of sacred sexuality, sacred intimacy. I'm inspired. Then I share on the last show, and then the next, here we go. The next, the Being Inspired that you listen to, and this is what they talk about. I mean,
and you and I don't talk.
And we do. Right. Oh my gosh. This is so awesome. Now what, so let me, can I ask you a question?
Please.
What came through for you? Just, cause I listened to the same, you know, after you shared it with me, and I went and I listened, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't get the paper and the pen fast enough, you know, to start writing stuff down. So what came through for you that really, I don't know, what was the big takeaway, or what did you get from?
So we did talk, I forgot. We did talk after on Sunday. I did tell you about the synchronicity. It really anchored in more. If we're in presence, if we're in our heart, it is all the heart. It's all about the heart. That's where we live from. That's where we get that feeling, that source connection with our partner, with anyone. And if we're in our mind, that's where he's saying you can be, that's what porn does, right? Creates images of it.
Yep.
And if we start adopting that, we're in the matrix. We're in the mind being. That's the mind being. The heart being can do this. The heart, like he said, but Mermaid has the knowledge. How did Mermaid have the knowledge? Because she's completely in her heart, has her light. We'll all get there too. Right? So
that's right.
It's a profound difference. And it's always been, even right from the beginning, the carrot on my stick was always inner peace. I just knew that's where it all happens. It's where it all happens. So there's almost a knowing about what it's like. I can feel what it's like. I can see when we're in our heart, you just know. Mm-hmm. I feel you don't have to talk about it. You just know.
You don't need words. You just know.
The universal knowledge is there when you live from your heart. Mm-hmm. You live from, and it's just when you live from your heart in that state of peace. It's interesting what came to me this week as well. I mean, completely in kind of a la-la land, but functioning, but somewhere else. It was fascinating, really fascinating. But to me, it's the heart connection. So it's even, that's why it's tricky to even have the conversation sometimes. And that's what Q said. Being in the mind, you can't understand it with the mind. You have to be in the heart to feel that coming through. That's where we'll have the knowledge of it. Remember, we talked, and then I'll pass to you. Remember, we spoke interviewing Q and Mermaid, and feel we were talking about dolphin-assisted births. And then basically he said, well, procreation, something comes before procreation, right? And we're like, okay, we're a little early. But it's cool, you know, that he said that, because yeah, until we can all feel it, how do we ever know? You know, the wisdom comes from the heart. So that's what stood out to me. But so you listened to it. So what stood out to you?
I had to listen to it a couple times, actually. And I sat there and I was like, oh, of course, this is why Q kept telling us, go within, go within. And neutrality, which presence, you're out of your head, basically. And it just really, it's solidified, sealed the deal. It just, I'm like, oh gosh, he probably wanted to knock us upside the head. Like, please, I'm kidding. But particularly me, because, you know, I'm a little stubborn. But I eventually,
too.
I eventually get
don't
there,
see
right?
Behind the scenes.
That's right. That's right. But I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, I totally, I know it. I don't get it. I know it now. Mm-hmm. I know it. And it took a little while to get there, but man, when you're there, it's just, it's so wonderful. It's just so wonderful.
It's just a switch of peace, and it's just easy. It's just comes natural.
That's right. That's right.
It's profound. It's profound. It's really profound.
It's
you know,
so
it's
profound.
Even back then, like you said, being in the head, asking like, I want to know. You'll never know if you just want to know, like figure it out. That's what I observed about myself. I want to figure it out. But there's a process of figuring it out as long as it's mine from my heart. You know what I mean? But if I'm, I never got it then.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
And then the key distinction is using the mind only, not through inspiration, just using the mind. You're in another land. We're in the matrix land. I just want to be in my organic creative land and see what I'm creating so I can envision from my heart what I'm looking for, what I want. That's the magic. That's where it all happens.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. Zosha, I did actually have, just to piggyback on what you just said, and I was struggling, like I can see the information, I know it, I see it, but I'm really having to work on how to communicate it in words. I'm sure you know what well, you do a really good job with it.
Oh, so, you're sweet. But now you know Q too would say that too, right? it's hard to articulate something so, I don't know, ethereal in a sense.
Yeah, I feel like Lilu in The Fifth Element, like, right? And I'm like, it's just, yeah, she's here and she's like, anyways, I won't get into that. But that's how it feels. So when he said, so I have a couple things written down. Observation through the brain. So I'm going to get to that because synchronistically, I've had an experience that taps, you know, piggybacks into that statement. So what came, is it okay if I share?
Please go.
Okay. So what came to me this week was, you know, why are we, you know, I have this book that I'm reading and I'm excited to read it. It's just, the information is just, it's so much fun. So I'm reading this book and I'm like, wow, why are people so triggered to talk about intimacy? You know, what is it? I mean, didn't we all have that? Our parents had that experience for us to be here, right?
No.
Our partners. No. Oh God, we don't talk about that stuff. You slut, right? We don't talk about that. And I remember when we had Q on the show and we were talking about orgasm or something like that. I can't remember. And he was like, I thought this was a religious show.
Exactly.
It was so funny. But anyways, I don't know. The question came to me, why are we afraid to talk about it? Why are we not? Well, we're not, obviously. But you know what I mean? Like it can be triggering, you know, and why does it make us uncomfortable to talk about it? And I started to ask, you know, just ponder on these questions. And you know, the obvious answer is just, it's the programming and anything to keep us from having that deep connection with ourselves. And just everything that organized religion you know, just the indoctrination of, you just don't talk about those topics. And I get it. It is sacred. It is private. And you discern on what you share, obviously, because, you know, but from an aspect of learning, like I want to learn, I want to experience this valley orgasm. I really do. And I want to experience this, higher level, connectivity, spiritual connectivity.
Can I tie in something real quick?
Please do.
Because why don't they want to talk about it? You just said something, which I forgot your words, though, because it's in the land of the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? But because when we all are doing our work, like we're ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
You know, doing that work and have the knowledge within, like you said about Mermaid, we're growing that light, knowing.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Zosha.
Yeah, go ahead.
So then this is what comes to me. Talk about, you know, intimacy and vulnerability. And I did get, you know, me and my books, Zosha, they're tools. So I did actually get a book. It's by Laura Doyle. I'm not going to give the title of it because I don't want everyone to go out and get the book, but I loved what an excerpt, and I'm going to, it's not long, it's short, but it's on vulnerability and intimacy. And she says, if what you want is intimacy, you must be vulnerable. It feels risky, and it is. You'll know when you're being vulnerable because part of you will resist. Maybe you'll want to hold back your tears or pretend you weren't disappointed or that you don't need help. Memorize that feeling and bravely walk into it as much as you can because that's where the magic is. Vulnerability is not only attractive, it's where you get that incredible, indescribable feeling of being loved just the way you are by someone who knows you well. There's nothing quite like it, and it really is worth risking everything to have it. Vulnerability, and this is important, vulnerability is not the same as weakness. It actually takes much more strength and courage to risk emotionally than it does to stay defended. So I really liked that. I really liked that, what she said. So basically, so where does it all start? It all starts with ourselves, right? Intimacy. If you want to have intimacy with someone, with, your partner, it requires being, it all starts with you. So are you intimate with yourself? Are you radically or brutally honest with yourself? Are you doing your inner work? Are you, clearing out whatever needs to be cleared out? And so this also ties into what Q says about, going within, and we all know about that. So when we practice vulnerability with ourselves, we learn how to be in neutrality. We learn how to connect with our spirit, be in presence with ourselves, right? That's first. That is first. So then when you do that, you're able to have it with your partner. And I'm sharing this because I hope it empowers others, just they can do it too if they want to. And this is a journey, as you know, so we're all learning. And I'm learning to love where I am on the journey, right? Like, not trying to rush it, not trying to force it, not all the time, but So anyways, anything with that.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like on the same interview that we just talked about, talking about the dolphin birth, Q said you have to know yourself first because you have to feel your spirit. You have to know what mood, it's like this deep understanding, like you said, to know your, are you intimate with yourself, that you said. And what did I write? It's also, do you, when you mentioned vulnerability, remember when Q said too, I feel we were on PRQ and Kevin called in and he said, well, if I fall on the step and mess up, you'll be there to pick me up, right? He said to both of us, right?
Yep.
Yes, of
Of
course. Like you
course.
get to grow together. So it's profound. And authenticity, which means knowing yourself, in my opinion. Because when you say that, here's the other side, just to add in, I'm curious what you feel about this. What does someone do when they know themselves and they're doing the work? What if they're with a partner who isn't?
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
know, it's two beings have to know themselves. They have to know their light. They have to be authentic. That becomes now way more rare, and you can start to feel, ah, that's why maybe that's such a hang up. Back to your earlier question, why don't we talk about this? See, you feel what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up because I'm sure a lot of people are, experiencing that. And what do you, I mean, yeah, so that's another conversation, but yeah, absolutely. It just, it does, it makes it very, it makes it quite, it's like you just can't do it.
No, and agreed. You can't. Well, then it brings up every other beautiful teaching Q has shared too. You start to maybe get sick if you're in a relationship like that. And then for me, you just, in other examples as well, you just observe. You observe yourself, you know yourself, and then can what can we tolerate? That's to me the truth coming in. Everyone's getting the truth. So at a certain point, when I'm truthful to myself, I observe a transition point. I'd now make a hard right type of thing. Like you said, it's a long process. It isn't easy, but it's beautiful to know that that's prior, Lauren, prior to before when we didn't really talk about these things or not like deeply like this. I'll just speak for myself too. I wasn't even aware that was a depth I can go to, but I always yearned for it. So inside I knew exactly what I wanted. But in the world that I lived in, I didn't know that that was really possible, if that makes sense.
It does. I had that same longing as well. That yearning deep within. It's always been there.
Yeah.
Because I know just what you said. So I'm glad you brought that up.
What inspired you for the book? Was it more on the topic that you were researching? You wanted to go deeper?
Honestly, Zosha, I was looking to get rid of some books.
And you read them first.
And I just happened to pick up the book. And because I was putting them in my car to, you know, I'm like, I don't need any more books. And that's the page that opened up. So I wasn't looking for it. Isn't that funny?
That's what's so fun about synchronicity.
It is.
And you can't even talk to people outside of this group about it, really. Like, oh, please, your book just opened. But no, we start paying attention and then you feel it. You feel it like, ah. Look at this little nugget.
Exactly. And I know that last week, you know, I read a lot from this book that I'm reading on intimacy. And I was reading through some more and thought this was really interesting. And I wanted to share.
Go for it.
So basically, when you're, you have to be careful, just like you said, just like Q and Asha were talking about lust, because if you go into it too fast, you can confuse love with lust, all these emotions, right? It's mm-hmm. it's the head versus knowing from your heart, from your core, and operating from your heart. I don't like the word operating, but you know.
And the dark can mimic it too.
Yeah, the dark can mimic it. So I thought, I thought this was very interesting. So most people, well, a lot of people, you know, they go into the experience with the orgasm being the primary outcome, right? And it's in the head, you know, it's what we've observed. It could be through your visualization, all the stuff that you mentioned. So I found it interesting. How do I put this? If you start practice, just start by practicing presence with your partner, right? And just feeling the connection between the two of you and not trying to make anything happen. If you just start with that and start with just creating this beautiful energetic, this beautiful space for the energy to flow between the two of you, it's like a conduit, right? And if it's like you're setting the stage for whatever's going to happen. It's beautiful. So when you do that and you just like you said, observation through the brain. So you have an awareness. So you're okay. This is coming up for me instead of trying to analyze, you know, ooh, if I'm feeling this, then the next thing that comes must be this. Cause right. That's the mind trying to figure it out. So instead, if you just, I'm feeling this sensation in my body, and just sit with it and just let it be. Don't give it any meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And you just let it be. It's so beautiful. I don't know how to describe it. I'm trying really hard, but please.
Can I repeat something in that being inspired? What Q said is, even to this day, we are confused by the orgasm when we procreate. We make love. We cherish each other. That power has nothing to do with the physicality or genetics. Well, that's a whole new way of being. So even in what you're describing, what if it never ends in an orgasm?
Yeah.
Or of what? Maybe I shouldn't say that because that word has meanings to it. You know, because Q used it for an orgasmic state.
Expansion.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So what if it just, I feel what you're saying is, what if there are just no rules?
Yes.
What if we're just being with each other in incredible care, incredible presence with each other? What if it stopped there?
Yeah, exactly. And exactly. I love it. And so, you know, because a lot of times, you're in your head and you're not able to allow yourself to feel what you're feeling, right? Oh, I need to hurry up because, you know, you're kind of rushing it. It's this linear type of experience. But just to what you said about just being in complete presence and just cherishing this beautiful space and energetic exchange that you're having with your partner. And maybe you have an orgasm and maybe you don't. I mean, and it's okay either way. And Zosia, you know, I know this happens to people. You know, a lot of times if your partner doesn't have the orgasm, you know, you feel guilty, you know, do you know what I mean? Or it's not equal.
Yeah.
And then really that's programming.
Exactly. And remember, for the people said, 100% of our thoughts and feelings are not us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, right? If we've talked before, if you just kind of remove the head for a minute, sorry for the visual, but it's a different experience. Okay, just say turn down the dimmer of the brain.
I need to turn down the thermometer. I'm getting hot.
turn down the thermometer as well. Then you just, it's different. It's upside down, like the other time. We're just turning upside down. Everything that has been put out on us, in us, MK Ultra, all of it. It's leaving all of that behind and starting kind of like where we started the show, just feeling that we could feel where everything's going now, feeling the show's coming to, we're transitioning into that new way of being.
Yeah. And it's exciting. I'm so excited. And, you know, I was also reading, now I'm saying this word because it's an inside joke and this person will know what it is, but in the book, it's talking about, you know, the clitoris. I'm just going to say it. Sorry. I'm just going to say it. And everybody rushes to that peak orgasm experience, right? Everyone wants to, well, not everyone, but it's fun. It feels good. It's exciting, right? But we're moving beyond. I'm not saying don't, but we're going well beyond, you know, well beyond that. I just had to say that word. I'll tell you about it later, but
can't wait to hear. Well, not to mention, we still, okay, just in general, what Q speaks about, he has his universal knowledge. He has all of his knowings. So moving in the direction, I still realize for myself, I probably, even when I feel a feeling, when I feel what it's like, I know for me, it's probably 2% of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's far, far beyond what I can even imagine. Well, I can imagine, but it's still, if we haven't experienced it, it's tough to see it.
Right.
So this is the outside of here feeling. So
yeah.
Yes, I have. And I feel you're saying had lots of experiences, but it's far, far grander.
And you know what? I remember, gosh, who said it? It escapes me, but basically when you're in this beautiful space with your partner and you're fine without it. If it happens, it does. And if it doesn't, you're fine too. It's just because you're really connecting with your partner and it doesn't even have to be physical, as you know, Zosia.
Perfect synchronicity, because I was just going to read. It's so fun. Perfect. Q says, I can tell you it was no problem merging with the mermaid halfway around the world.
Mm.
So that just, you just said it doesn't have to be physical. There's proof in case.
That's right.
But
That's
he
right.
says it's because we have that knowledge already. Things of that nature is what he said.
Yeah.
Never direct quote. I'm not the best transcriptionist. But so it's deeper, this knowledge. So if you don't, back to the beginning, if you don't go within, if you don't grow that peace, you won't have the knowledge to know what that feels like.
That's right?
That's where we were talking about it, to try and help grow it. the more we collaborate, the more this comes to us.
You know, it's like, it's interesting. It's like, I know this, I'm remembering this information. Now, how do I say it?
I'm well aware of what you're saying. It's tricky. I know what you're saying. It's tricky. There's a lot I don't say. I'll just say that. Mm-hmm. And I want to say it, but it's when I'm inspired. So I just say that to you too. It's when you're inspired, it'll come through.
Yeah. This is exciting. So that's basically, you know, what came to me this week, even up until, you know, today of the show. It's
I love it.
And having awareness, you know, of just, it's so important. How do I put this? Oh gosh, come on, Lauren. Just having that, I don't know. It's like you're creating, just like in the Osho book, remember we had Q on and we were talking about the orb, the circle of energy circulating between the two of you.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
It is when you have this connection and this presence with them, with your partner, this is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that is like the foundation right there. If you don't have that, it's a linear experience, which is, you know, I'm not saying that it doesn't feel good, but yeah.
I'm just chuckling because I remember after that show, on the next show, the PRQ show, a beautiful woman called in and she had obviously heard the interview we did with Q, and she was sharing something like this, that she and her partner, who were twinnies, said, "Oh my God, we always thought we were so weird. Like, it just gets better." Like, how does... Like, they felt weird because just everywhere we find this special place or something, she's like, it just gets better and better. And I just sat there like, wow.
Yeah.
That's what was cool to me, without going into detail. You know, she didn't go into the details, but
right.
Just the way she said it, you could feel the joy in her and the excitement. It's like, almost like, oh, finally I could talk about this to someone. Yeah. You know, because you have to be back to the beginning. Like, why didn't we talk about this? Because no one wants to listen.
Yeah.
No one knows how to go deeper. So when she shared it, I just felt her excitement. I'm like, that is so cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. Everyone wants the quick fix. I'll raise my hand to that too. Because it's, you know.
Where they don't know themselves. Then it's back to like, how much light does someone hold? Growing our light increases our universal knowledge. So it's just like coming on Finding Q, right? You try and talk to people out there, you're not going to believe what's happening, or this is the IRS is falling, you know, all of that stuff. No one wanted to hear about it.
No.
No one. I remember talking to people who are deeply spiritual, telling them about Q. I'm like, to put it in their language, I'm like, it's almost like Jesus is here. Crickets. Just crickets. I'm like, if someone said to me, Jesus is here.
Well, where is he? Exactly. I want to talk to him.
Crickets. No one wanted to. Again, it's just the programming. It's like, after a while, you just throw up your hands and then we find each other. We're finding each other. So it's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
But it's the same. You can almost insert any topic. Why do people want to know? I'm going to pay my taxes. That's how it is. Okay.
All right.
Rock on.
Rock on. That's right. Oh my goodness. Anything. I don't know, Zosha. Anything. I'm sure something will come to me.
I had another inspiration. It's changing the topic a little, right. Kind of, but I kind of smiled. Something came to me the other day. And then after listening to everyone on the shows today, and I got teary, I was like, okay, I'm going to see if there's time, I'll read this.
Oh, please do.
It's a little bit, it just inspired and by us talking and being aware and feeling us, feeling the light. So this came to me and I wanted to share another light being's words who was surrounded by the dark. So this is Princess Diana interview with Martin Bashir in 1995. So it's just, I don't know, be a few minutes. So Bashir says, "Do you think you will ever be queen?" Diana says, "No, No, I don't. No. Why do you think that? I would like to be a queen of people's hearts, in people's hearts, but I don't see myself being queen of this country. I don't think many people would want me to be queen. Actually, when I say many people, I mean the establishment that I'm married to, into, because they have decided I am a non-starter. Why do you think they decided that? Diana says. This is where what touched me. Because I do things differently. Because I don't go by a rule book. Because I lead from my heart, not the head. And albeit that has got me into trouble in my work, I understand that. But someone has to go out there and love people and show it. Bashir says, do you think because of the way you behave that has precluded you effectively from becoming queen? Diana says, well, not precluded me. I just don't think I have as many supporters in that environment that I did. He says, you mean in the royal household? And Diana says, I'm almost done. Diana says, they see me as a threat of some kind, and I'm here to do good. I am not a destructive person. And then the last question is, why do they see you as a threat? And Diana says, I think every strong woman in history has had to walk down a similar path, and it is the strength that causes a confusion and fear. Why is she strong? Where does she get it from? Where is she taking it? Where is she going to use it? Why does the public still support her? And I'll end it there. But again, the synchronicities of how it just pops up, it was just this exact little clip. And I just stopped and had chills. And I transcribed it. But just to say again, I do things differently. Sounds like us. Because I don't go by a rule book. Sounds like us. Because I lead from my heart, not the head. Sounds like us. And albeit that has got me into trouble in my work. Sounds like us. But someone has to go out there and love people and show it. Our shows.
Yeah.
We all do our shows with great love and great care and such a strong desire to help each other. And then help everybody. And I felt, wow, it just came to me. We know Diana is a light being and what she was surrounded with. And it really humbles me to feel just, you know, such a dark place, surrounded by such dark beings. And look, she just still lived by our heart. And listening to that interview, wow, you just feel it again. With that perspective of the light, this is how the light was in this vessel. This is what the light could continue to deal with, just like us. So did anything awaken for you in that, or not awaken, but any comments?
I know that interview very well. And I just admire how can I even, it takes a lot of courage. It takes so much courage to do what Diana, what Ra, Q have done, and every, all of them. It's just, it's taking so much courage for us. It takes a lot of courage to, break out of the system.
Yeah.
It takes a ton. But we're doing it, and it's so exciting. And just to have those little, the pearls of knowledge, you know, and the interviews that come across, just like the one that you shared from Princess Diana, it's just sweet little reminders. Keep going, just to keep going. Even when you don't know where you're going. Now I understand, Zosha, that poem. Remember that poem? I can't remember the guy's name, but how do you know you're on your path? Well, the path disappears. And I sat there and I said to myself, what the hell does that mean? The path disappears. Well, you're in the present. You're in the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
There is no future. There is no past. You're here now. You are now here.
Wherever you go, there you are.
That's right. That's right. It finally came to me. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? You know, the path disappears. What? Yeah. So, you know, I always get to the party. I might be a little late. I always end up at the bar. I'll get there.
Late in our perspective, maybe, you know, we're perfectly on time, I always feel. Do you know what I mean? And that's us with every choice we make. And so this is a day of synchronicities because also For the People came out with the Vedas.
Oh, yeah.
Songs of the Veda. And here, this connects to Diana's words. In that article, thank you, For the People again. Light beings carry creation and all the knowingness of Source within their own consciousness everywhere they go, in every body they animate, and even when they don't have a body, just as we do. We all have that.
We do.
And those constant efforts by the dark, again, Diana is an example. Look what they do.
Yeah.
Look what they try to do, but we keep coming through it, and we are. I mean, it's just so exciting right now. Like, so exciting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, anything else come up for you? I'm just sitting here. I'm just being.
Well, it's perfect because I if there was time, I was going to share one more thing.
Oh, please do.
So I hadn't heard this before, but I heard Q on one of the interviews from years and years ago. I don't know which one, but he shared the lyrics of a song called Little Soul by Depeche Mode. And it goes, my little light is going to shine, shine out so bright and illuminate your mind. My little soul will leave a footprint. This little voice is going to sing. I have no choice. It will infinitely ring. My little soul will leave a footprint. I'm channeling the universe that's focusing itself inside of me, a singularity. I was like, wow. Wow. They had, you know, as we know from all the singers shared, had so much of their light. They knew.
I wonder if they knew. You said that they, what you just said, they knew. Do you think they, how much do you think they knew?
It's a good question because I wondered that as well. I feel what that means is they were so heart-centered that Source would just come through their heart. I remember Q saying, I was talking about a musician who just wanted to learn the piano or something like this, just had to do it, just like us. How do we make decisions? You just have to do it at sometimes. You just have to leave. I quit, whatever it is. This is it. Or I just have to paint this picture. I just have to sing this song. So I feel like that's what it means. It's being so heart-centered is the highway to Source. And all of that knowledge comes through. So they were able to feel it. I'm speculating, but they were able to feel it. That's what I feel like. This wisdom comes through so many of these lyrics. They're connected somehow. And then we know, you know, some are taken out.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, I resonate with that. I'm wondering if they knew
the details of the world, the matrix.
Yeah, and yes. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they were just, I don't know. You know, you sit and listen to some of the interviews with Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, yeah, it doesn't really, I guess it doesn't matter, but yeah, just, I don't know. I think I feel like you come in here with you just have this knowing of, and maybe it's different for everybody on the awakening and when they fully awaken. They're on it's a mission. It's you want to help others, you know?
Well, and they see us coming in. This technology they always had to see light, being of light coming in. They know exactly. They track us.
Yeah.
They know exactly. We pick the best of the worst, right? It's like a little collection. There's like, all right, I'll be her. You know what I mean? So I feel in a sense that I wouldn't be surprised if they were implanted and if they were just like all, well, I'll speak for me, just like myself. That I look what Q had to go through. Look whatever they all had to go through. I would speculate there was a process for many of them. I did used to read the words of a profound woman in India, and she was born self-realized, which means she was born with the full wisdom of who she was. So the words she would speak were, it was just like talking to Q, just like talking to Mermaid. She knew everything. So she obviously wasn't implanted or wasn't targeted. So guess she got through. Guess sometimes people get through. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know.
And interesting. I wonder, the same, you know all this information, but then you're just like looking around like, oh my God. Right? I don't want to call it a burden, but you're just like, oh God, this place is messed up.
And I guess when I say she knew everything, she knew her divine self. She never spoke about the Matrix, but she did speak that it was all an illusion. Mm. So the awakening that I had was really more of a, oh, we're focused too much on the identity, but I had no idea it was this stuff. Yeah. So I almost feels like the Matrix is an illusion in the illusion. I don't know, but it's fascinating, really fascinating. So yes, there are beings who do exist with their knowledge, full knowledge. And look, once again, we're at the end of the hour. It feels like five, well, there's no time. I'm glad I made it to the show.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
That was so fun.
Yeah, it was
so fun. We just see how fun it is just really working on synchronicities, and you just don't have to be in your head. It just shows up when we're just open to it, and look what happens. It's cool. Very cool.
Yeah, it is.
So well, again, if anyone wants to listen to the reviews, that document is on our page. And thank you to our listeners, BBS, Q and Mermaid. You must be so happy watching the kids grow up. Yeah. Thank you. And the whole team and everybody. So I love you.
I love you too.
And should we just wind it out?
Yeah, I think that's a wrap.
Yeah. Thanks, BBS.